welcome to episode 2 of The Spodcast. I'm Jared.
I'm Stutt.
I'm Elliot.
And there you go.
Yes, we should probably explain. Elliot is Jared's brother. Elliot?
We'd probably sound alike.
Elliot, tell us about yourself.
No.
Okay, that's fair enough. yes. Right. First
well,
of all,
I can a little bit if you want. I'm Jared's brother. I geek like the family geeks, and but I don't have a Mac, which separates us.
No.
Yeah. Well, there's no accounting for.
There's always one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Elliot is based.
We have an interesting lineup for you tonight,
yeah,
don't
hold
we?
On. I was just going to say, Elliot is based in Nottingham.
Yeah.
So we're still going with the Skype solution, which seems to be working quite well once we got the bloody thing working. Right. Yes. First of all, I think we should say thank you to everyone who listened to last week's podcast and got in touch
both
in various
of you.
Ways. Yes.
Thanks, Ned.
Yes, Ned. we should mention Fred. Because Fred sent us an email. Fred, someone I used to work with. He sent us an email asking for some background music. So we won't do that this week. But if anyone else wants background music, you know, let us know and we'll ignore you too. Indeed.
It's a shame because we could have played Edelweiss.
Edelweiss?
Yeah.
Why particularly Edelweiss?
Oh, because I think Fred would like it.
Okay. Can we shut him up for a minute?
There you go, Fred. That's your background music.
Back. Excellent. Right. Okay, moving on. Yes, Jared, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was just saying we should start with our list of things to do. That we're going to start off with Elliot's wonderful introduction to being in this podcast, where he gets to talk about advertising.
Advertising in US sport.
You've got a pet peeve with this at the moment, haven't you?
Yeah, just a bit. I was watching a pre-season game of American football, as you do. It was Jets versus Lions.
Was this under the magic of BitTorrent?
Might have been. and it's like, I mean, apart from the incessant advert breaks between every play, and I really do mean practically every play, if the clock stops, there's an advert break.
Yeah, but the game's built around that fact.
That's fine. Yeah, football. You expect that. What you don't expect is the commentators to say things like, and today's Toyota starting offensive line is... And they come up and they give you a list of who's on the starting offensive line, and it's got a little Toyota logo at the top of the box.
So is this actually, this is team sponsorship rather than...
No, this isn't team sponsorship. This is just pure sponsorship of the show, in that Toyota have slapped down money to have their name read out when they read out who is on the offensive line.
Okay.
And then Ford have done the same for every time they look up stats on a player. They say, let's look at the Ford fact book.
Aha!
Yes.
Yeah, completely. It's Alan Partridge-esque, shameless Lexus or Vauxhall, whatever he was.
My
sponsorship.
Rover 20.
Yeah, his Rover. That was it. In the Christmas special. I was flabbergasted.
See, I think we've got it right over here. We have like the N power test in cricket, and you apart from being in the title of the competition, you never hear about them.
Well, yeah.
Their logo's on everything. I mean, it's all over the place, but the commentators never mention them. They're never mentioned in any of the, play-by-plays.
Yeah, like with the British Superbikes, it's the Think British Superbike Championship. And so they'll say that because, well, that's what it's called. But other than that, the sponsorship's all over the teams. And they sometimes will even give you the full team name, but I mean, that's pretty rare.
They try to at least mention the team once by their full name. I think that's their obligation. Because the commentators want sponsors to come in to make the sport richer.
Yeah, I mean,
I've got no problem with them raising cash because obviously it's a business.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is important because, I mean, how else are they going to pay for it? They, they've tried to charge more for tickets, people don't go.
Yeah. So, especially after the Formula One in America. Yes.
And aren't there controls on there controls on how much players get paid?
In American football?
I think there is.
Unless I'm a free agent or something, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Rules on
very complicated.
So that's not a reason why it's so expensive. So whatever the reason it's expensive, I would have thought advertising is the only way they can solve it.
Yeah, but when you've got basically all four car companies, because that's about how many there are, when all of them are sponsoring the same event, you've got to think this is just saturation. You're now just, it's like being a drug addict. You're now just taking the drug to feel normal.
Well, you do realise that both Pepsi, Coke, and the other one...
both of the three?
Yeah, both of the five. All five of the triplicates of soda companies in the United States, they all were advertising in American football, and then they decided to stop... By the way, I'm talking to... But they all decided to... Bless them. They all decided to... Bless them again. They all decided to stop paying in money and cancel each other out.
Yeah.
At least in my ideal made-up world, this is what happens. I mean, that's what should be.
I'm sure that's negative cartelling, but bring it on.
Yeah. Let's all just not advertise in this sport. Let's all give them some money and shut up.
Well, but why would they be giving the money, then?
Well, why not just shut
because
up?
Because obviously advertising... Obviously advertising doesn't work.
Well, it clearly does.
No, it doesn't.
They wouldn't be plunging so much money in it if it didn't work.
No, yeah. I mean, all it means is that when you've got a bunch of people sat there telling you that your company's going to fail unless you give them money, people are stupid enough to do it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
I think we should put an end to that there. So,
yes, we should.
Do you want to wrap up your opinion and what you think they should be doing about it?
My opinion wrapped up is that I think they have reached saturation point and perhaps need to take a short non-commercial break.
Okay, that was very well put.
Thank you.
Okay.
And today I am drinking Coca-Cola, the official drink of the French side of this podcast.
Okay, I'm drinking water.
My tea's gone cold.
Okay, so...
Okay, yes, donations for Spudge's tea, welcome. Anyway, should we move on?
Yes, of course.
I think we should.
You have something to say about the iTunes library update.
Yes, yeah, I had a problem earlier this week, but saw my doctor about that, so we're on to the iTunes problem. Basically, the...
You're sitting down on that rubber ring again.
Oh, shut up. You said we'd keep that between us.
Oh,
I've got my music collection, all my CDs, ripped to a portable hard drive, which I...
Is that legal?
Yes, it is. Which I routinely transport from home to work and so on. And I've recently stopped doing because there's only a couple of albums I actually listen to, so it's not worth carrying around 60 gig of music. So iTunes refused, point blank, to remove all the non-existent tunes from its library. So after being... annoyed with that for a couple of weeks, I went on the old Google and found something called the iTunes Library Updater, which does a lot more than just removes non-existent tunes. It'll resync your MP3 tags. It'll basically just keeps what iTunes thinks you've got in sync with what you've actually got, and it rocks. We'll put a link up. There are others available, but I found this one. It was free. It did the job.
There is another way.
Is there?
Yes, you select all the songs, delete the lot without sending them to the bin, so you soft delete them. Then you drag a folder saying do not copy.
Oh,
drag
that...
the folder, your iTunes folder, to iTunes. Bang, there you go.
That takes hours.
That takes seconds.
Okay.
I'm on a dual 2 gigahertz G5 here. That takes seconds.
Yeah, you did your showing off last week. Okay, let's move on. Okay.
But is that not a third-party solution to what should be something that is just a fundamental part of the iTunes thing?
I mean, there is a reason why iTunes does it. It assumes that you might have music you have on portable devices that disappear occasionally. But I think there should be an option to say, cull anything you can't find.
not this one, because, frankly, I don't like it anymore.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I think that's called an ideal third-party opportunity.
Yeah, it is, but I really think it's so fundamental iTunes should build something like that in. But anyway, Yes. So yeah, iTunes library updater. I found
it useful. You'll put the link up on the spodcast.org website then.
Of course, yes. Your Great. Voice is going funny again.
Oh dear. I'm having serious connection problems, and this must be down to the bandwidth between France and England.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to blame
the channel. Yeah.
Squeezing the cables. You can't put too much in that bit of water, you know.
Maybe they think it means trying to be an illegal immigrant.
Okay.
Yes, okay. Moving in the right direction.
Yeah. Let's just move on. Skip over it.
Yeah. Now, here's a question that we were asking ourselves during the week. Well, it just came up in discussion. Do you tell people that you do a podcast?
People you know, people you work with, people you see every day.
Yeah, would you tell your boss, I couldn't do this because I had to rush home because I had to do my podcast. Your podcast? My podcast. Well, what on earth is a podcast? Oh, it's the new replace of modern radio, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I'm going to have to listen to you waffling about your awful day at work. And would you tell
I'm a dissident.
At what point do you say, I'm going to podcast and tell everybody apart from the close-knit group of people I know?
Or do you just wait for it to, you know, hopefully take off and just reach them? Someone suddenly walk up to you at work and say, I listened to you the other day, you don't half talk a lot of crap. Or something along those lines.
If you do that, you can then come and say, podcasting? Yeah, I've been doing that for years!
Yeah.
No, you're going to say that anyway, aren't you? Because nobody wants to be a noob, really.
No, absolutely.
Even so he in his first.
Yes.
This is my first podcast, I will say, so no, I do not tell people I do it, because I haven't yet.
Well, it's not only that. I think you need to get feedback from strangers before you're happy to tell other people you do it.
Yeah. It's okay falling flat on your ass in front of people you've never met, but doing it in front of your daily contacts is never...
Your peers.
They'll remind you about it. Yeah.
I think basically you tell your friends who already couldn't think any worse of you. But for people that you're actually generally trying to sort of keep some kind of a good reputation with, like your work colleagues and bosses and things, and no, you wouldn't.
Yeah. Because then you can...
I don't have any, sorry.
Yeah,
but there does come the point where you have to worry about what you say because maybe your boss will hear you.
That's true, but I mean, we were very careful last week not to actually mention where we work. We just said what we do. I think it's important to keep it separate because otherwise you get into the legal problems that people with blogs have had over the last couple of years.
True. Yeah, I mean, people who know where I work know where I work.
Yeah,
and that's enough.
And no one else should care.
Quite a few of the people that know probably don't. But
that's true.
Yeah. So it's one to think, if you're ever doing a podcast, will you tell people? Do you tell your mother? Do you tell your cousins? Do you say, oh, if you want to know what's happening in my life, go and read my blog. Listen to my podcast.
But there is an argument to say that if you don't want them knowing about it, you wouldn't talk about it or write about it.
Yeah, but then they find out about it and...
My concern is someone very close turning around and saying, oh yes, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And at the moment we have a fairly specific plan about what we're doing, and we don't want hundreds of people
great,
to say...
Except for one problem, you're boring.
Yeah.
You don't actually want to have to say that to anyone, do you?
Say goodbye to the working relationship.
Yeah. Or any chance of promotion if it's your boss.
Yes.
Yeah.
My boss is
we have. We have a physical limit, don't we? The Skype
solution
only take three podcasters and the host.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. Looking at the screens, there is a gap. So I'm wondering if it's actually four plus the recorder.
Yeah, that's possible. Then in that case, we're looking for a guest.
If you'd like to be part of it and you have something interesting to talk about.
Unlike us.
By all means, give us a shout and we'll see if... you know, we're interested as well, basically. Yes, anyway.
Excellent.
So then, have an interesting musical interview that has a story behind it.
It does.
Tell us the story.
Okay. Rory, yes.
Are we all sitting comfortably?
It's not that good, or long.
No.
Basically, I don't know if people know about the podcast music network, or is it Pod Show Music Network?
It's the Pod Show. Music Network.
Yes. Whatever it's called, we'll link to it properly.
Yeah, it's the Pod Safe Music Network. It's run by Pod Show, which is Adam Curry's venture, which incidentally recently got some fairly massive funding. So good on him. Hope we can push this podcasting thing into the. Hey.
Where's ours?
Where's ours? Yes. I think we'll wait a few weeks before we start going to him for money.
Yes.
But basically, the PodSafe Music Network is a massive site where artists can go along and register and upload their tunes for people to use. They have to obviously give permission for it to be used in podcasts, but they don't have to give anything else away. They don't give a carefree license for it. You can't download something, burn it to CD, and sell 10 million copies at the local market. But it does let the musicians get, heard, whereas commercial radios wouldn't.
Kind of like dipping a toe into the public domain.
Yeah, that sort of thing. But obviously, there's no money in it. It's just a case of, becoming better known. So in order to find something for this week, because obviously we can't play the same thing we played last week, even though it is absolutely fantastic, I spent a couple of hours looking through, and seriously, you could spend days looking through the site. There's loads of stuff. And found this lovely lady called Adrina Thorpe, who has an absolutely gorgeous voice. I'm a sucker for nice voices. Heard a couple of her songs, thought, yeah, this is good. Noticed she had a website, a look at that. Saw that she was available in the iTunes music store. Well, not her music, obviously. Downloaded the album, or bought the album, in fact. Listened to a bit more and thought, yeah, we've got to play this woman. So that's what we're doing.
And we'll be linking through a website from the
show notes.
From ours.
Yes, from ours. But what we're going to play a song called More Than 17. I would tell you what it's about, but I'd probably get it wrong.
It's about 3.5 minutes long.
It is about 3.5 minutes long.
Which is about right.
But the way that Adrina herself describes it, Simone is tall, red-haired and beautiful. With a silent strength, she carries on her own. She reads her books, so I'm not going to go on. But basically, it's a very, very intense song, but has a good tune. And she's almost 23, which is why it's called More Than 17, obviously. Yes, but I would recommend that you have a listen. If you like it, go and check out our website, have a listen in the iTunes store to some of her stuff. You can actually listen to her stuff on her website as well, and indeed on the PodSafe Music Network.
Brilliant.
So
groovy.
Here it is. Enjoy.
Roll the film, Errol.
She reads her books so full of wisdom. Every
Okay, that was that. Hope you enjoyed it. Like I said,
I certainly did.
It's reminiscent of Tori Amos, in my opinion.
Hmm. Okay.
Yes. So if you like that sort of thing, Tori Amos in the iTunes store as well. The store is safe.
She does list her influences as being quite wide and varied. So.
I love the reading the influences bit of the PodSafe.
Yes.
Site.
Yeah.
To see who they're influenced by, anything.
No, you're not! you just want to drop names!
It's yeah. Like, you know, no, I think you can safely say that somebody can be influenced by somebody without sounding like it in any way.
I think that's a rant for another day. Yes, lots of link about the lovely lady on the site, so check her out. And the music, okay. Obviously. Right. Oh, yes. Miracle Clock?
Podcast.
Oh, yeah, the Miracle Clock.
This is a late edition. I hadn't seen this before we started.
I haven't seen it before the end of the day. Victoria was cooking me a magnificent chili. A huge, huge amount of chili with rice, and it was just very, very nice. And then she said, by the way, you didn't clean the cooker while I was away on holiday for 2.5 weeks.
Oh.
So I'm going to show you the miracle. So I'm going to... I think she was literally using it as an opportunity to show me the miracle cloth. So she got the miracle cloth out and said, watch this. And wiped the cooker just with water. Well, you know, half of the cooker was being used for cooking the chili. And she just wiped the bit that wasn't being used and it just took off all the crap. And I was going, yeah, well, that's just because it's not on properly. Tried another cloth and it was impossible. Tried the miracle cloth and it was...
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually works. And it really does. And I was thinking... It's made of... My first thought was that it was actually made of alligator blood, which, as we all know, can annihilate AIDS, E. coli, strep, etc.
Cancer of the puppy,
yep. BBC was reporting on the alligator blood being able to nuke pretty much everything. They just can't find out how to get it in because it's too bloody tough and it fights its way out all the time. But the miracle cloth
is also a bit low to hand it over as well, aren't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a job I wouldn't like. Yeah. Would you like to go and collect some alligator blood for us?
Just get that Steve Irwin guy, he'll do it.
Yeah, g'day. So
is that Irwin or Irwin?
Yeah, that's it.
Because I had that problem last week.
So, pottery, is it? Pottery versus
pottery or crockery, I can't remember.
Anyway, miracle cloth.
Yes, so the miracle cloth is great. We'll put a link to it on the thing, and it actually works. And we're going to put a proper link, because the last thing, when I went looking for it, to get the link, obviously, I saw all these TV shoppy type tat sellers that I did not want a link to, so I've hunted it down and found the advice item either on Amazon in the States or...
Rainbow.
Elliot came up with a suggestion of what it's actually made of.
Yeah.
Go on, then.
Intertwined moon pony hair.
Ah! Cool.
Softened with the spittle of mega dolphins.
You know, people aren't going to want to use it.
I should. Their choice.
That's true, it's not our job to sell it, I suppose.
So there you go, I was just in the store and I thought, it looks like one of those TV adverts, and it's a hateful thing to say, bugger, it worked.
Well, just for information, 16-inch square cloth, available in blue, green and yellow, match your kitchen.
Say goodbye to those knick-knacks and thingamajigs.
Yeah, it's $8. $8 for a cloth? $8 for a cloth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it washable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's reasonable. It's
washable. It'll have your arm off.
Yeah. And then it'll regrow it with this magic of alligator blood.
Ooh, they make a car drying towel as well.
Yeah. You see, this is the problem I had when I looked at the website, right? You've got, it dusts, it cleans, it polishes, it's the same cloth, it does all these things. And then they sell a dust cloth, a car drying towel,
an optical cloth.
And you're sitting there thinking, but if it does all of these things, why would I not just buy one?
The different sizes.
Yeah, but you just buy the biggest one then, don't you?
I'm sorry. Miracle cloth is 16-inch square. The dust cloth is 14-inch square. The car drying towel is 24 by 35. They're just making different sizes. He's right.
Yep.
Yeah, that's, and colouring it different so that the the car drying one is sort of a manly grey.
A man wouldn't want the green or the pink or the moon pony one.
And the optical cloth is the high visibility for all those people that don't have terribly good contrast vision. So it's a nice blue that you can see any light.
It's actually so you can find it even when your glasses are dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shouldn't they make it beep or something then?
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, they should just make it snappy.
Snappy?
Sorry, back on the crocodile.
We are.
Right.
Okay, so, yes.
Moving on.
Miracle cloth, yes. Arse.
Yes.
Arse?
Ass.
Arse.
Ass. Okay. I wanted to talk about ass.
Go on then.
Which is autosimsport.com.
Okay.
Basically they're a bunch of fan people, and they write their own monthly PDF-style downloadable magazine, which is available on their website, which we will be linking to on ours. And they write all sorts of interesting articles from a perspective of people who are online petrol heads, basically, virtual petrol heads. Most of the latest edition is given to R Factor, which, if you haven't heard of it, you're probably not interested in.
Sorry, do you want to say the name of that again? Because your voice went funny and it sounded like something it's not.
Yeah, R Factor.
That's it. Anyway, carry on.
Which, as I say, if you haven't heard of it, you're probably not interested.
I saw a video of it today and it looks fantastic.
Yeah, doesn't it?
It really does.
I saw it and thought, that's not a game. You've just recorded that off 10 slackers.
The only thing I was disappointed about is there doesn't seem to be much atmospheric stuff. There wasn't any smoke. There wasn't any, you know, I didn't see anything. And this is quite common, I think.
That's because the beta testers are all actually quite good at playing this sort of game.
Well, no, it's something I've seen. PC games tend not to have things like that. You know, the atmospheric stuff. The stuff that takes a lot of processing. A lot of dedicated processing, whereas console games tend to have that sort of thing, and I think it loses something. But even looking as clean and as artificial as it did, it was damn good.
It looked damn fine, and the selling point is, scary. You wouldn't want to play it.
Yes, well, obviously we'll link to R Factor as well. When's it due for release?
Nobody knows. It's currently being beta played by the good people of Auto Simsport, amongst others. Their forum has some information on that. There's no release date that I know of, except that it's going to be soon. They're on version 996 beta.
You've pre-ordered it, haven't you?
So that really gives them four more. I've already ordered it.
Yeah.
Mine's in the post.
yeah, right. Okay.
Email. Don't forget, this is a downloadable game.
Buy
the key for. It's not. There's no CD. There's no packaging. There's no crap.
But I think
the game is written by fans for fans. It's totally centered around the modding community.
Yeah,
it's going to be huge. Is the general feeling?
Excellent, excellent. And then there's a lot of multiplayer stuff in there as well, isn't there?
They're kind of pitching it towards being the next big online multiplayer. GTR failed because they were too unfriendly towards the community, I think.
And also they treated their legitimate customers as criminals.
Yes, basically.
That's a rant for next week. Rant for next week.
Protection. Yes, next week.
Yes.
But recent birthday boy Lou Magyar is one of the people who's been playtesting.
Like our own recent birthday boy Spadge.
Oh yeah, him.
how old is that then?
What, me?
Yeah.
He's old.
Oh,
36. Oh, I'll tell you. Anyway.
Thank you, Lou, for ass.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for the ass, Lou.
Okay. Oh dear. We only wanted to talk about that to say ass.
Yeah, lots.
Yep.
Yeah, so do they, actually. It's quite sad. Forum. It is funny.
Yep. Okay, coming up to the end, we've got one last thing to talk about. And this is something that is a bit... Well, we don't really know what the answer is.
Yeah, but we're hoping you might help.
Judging by Elliot's voice at the moment and Jared's voice at the moment, I think I've got the upper hand on this one. Podcasting equipment. Yeah, podcasting equipment. last week we used what we had lying around. Jared, I believe, is using a webcam with a microphone attached to record his voice. Yep.
For which I do not have drivers for the actual webcam part for OS 10. But I have the drivers for the microphone part of it.
Yes, apparently so.
nice.
I used a headset that came free on the front of a magazine a little while ago that was had a feature on voice over IP, and it really is quite nasty.
Which is why you were so quiet.
Which is why I was... Well, it's one of the reasons I was so quiet. We also didn't do a sound test, which was a mistake.
Yeah.
We did this week, so...
Yeah, we did this week, which was a bigger mistake.
Yes. Yes.
We are rank amateurs, let's not forget that.
We are. But, you know, content's more important. Oh, schnoodles. Anyway, this week I got hold of a headset, a USB headset. So, in theory, it should be better quality. At least that's my theory, because it's not going through many, many plugs and sockets. It's all digital from... when the microphone converts it through to, although I have to say I don't know what all these little...
Having said that, you have just drifted off.
That's me, my voice trails off, it does that. This cable has lots of little, like, bobbles on it. There's a volume control thing, there's another one near where the plug is, so I don't know what they're actually doing to the signal as it goes down. The general question is, you know, what's best? What's best quality on cheap budgets? Because, I mean, we're not at Adam Curry's level. Adam has just got himself a Yamaha all singing, all dancing, route the signal through this, that, and the other to get it out the other end sounding better. And we've got headsets.
Actually have much of a headset. I've got a free set of headphones I got with a graphics card from Scan.
Excellent.
Well, I've got three headphones with graphics cards, you can imagine. And I've got some... I've got a microphone sellotaped to a bottle, actually.
It's all high-tech. It's all high-tech.
I think I nicked that from work once.
Yeah, okay.
Not to support or condone such.
Sorry, I made a mistake earlier. Elliot's not in Nottingham, he's somewhere else.
Yes.
Inquiries should be made elsewhere.
Yeah. We have a fine tradition of robbing from the rich in Nottingham, don't worry.
I'd like to see that one stand up in court. Anyway.
That's why the City Council have dropped Robin Hood from their logo, actually.
Yeah.
So people weren't paying the tax.
Well, no, because you wouldn't, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you still have people knocking door to door asking for taxes, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes. These days they carry guns. Anyway.
So... You've been able to listen to both myself and Elliot, and you can probably tell us which one sounded clearer.
Elliot is, actually, because you're crackling for whatever reason.
That'll be banned.
Yeah, you just can't beat the free stuff.
You can't, can you?
Yeah, you can't. Although you're sounding...
We can, actually, yeah.
You can, because stuff's gone the other way entirely, and it's sounding like clearer than everybody.
It has. It was a fairly expensive headset, I have to say. But so worth it.
It'll make you play golf better.
It will. Oh, of course. Yeah. The basic question is: does anyone know of anything that would be better? You know, what's the ideal audio setup on the cheap?
And also, should you be using noise gates and the like? Especially because podcasters will be podcasting in an environment where there's fan noise, hard drive noise, or in my case, an open window the size of a bunk bed.
Okay.
It's a sliding door.
In the middle of Paris.
In the middle of Paris, yes. Well, I'm on the fourth floor, so it's alright.
Alright, yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm on the ninth floor. Any burglars who are in the area?
Yes.
And my huge dog...
It's the big metal lattice thing, isn't it? You're on the ninth floor of the big metal lattice thing.
That's this one.
With the huge ninja dog.
Yes, and also I've got a crack cadre of French resistance who are eating their onions, chomping on their onions, going hoi-hoi at the bottom. So you won't get past them either.
They go hoi-hoi from the bottom.
Oh, indeed.
You probably don't want to go there.
No, let's not. Yeah, so, I mean, I had a hunt earlier this week for some software noise gates and compressors and so on, yeah. So we could try and get the sound quality better. But I didn't find anything. Unless you want to pay for something like SoundForge, which we don't.
No.
More to the point, we can't.
I was going to say, can't, I think, is a better word.
I mean, the bandwidth from last month, I'm already paying... last week, I'm still paying for, so...
Yeah. Well, when it gets popular, it's going to be worse.
Yeah, but when it gets popular, we'll be able to, you know, advertise shit.
Yeah, we'll be able to pimp ourselves shamelessly.
Absolutely.
Cash.
Yeah.
So what we should try to do is keep quality low enough that we don't... the quality of the podcasting low enough that we don't explode into superior popularity.
Yeah.
I
mean, this is something else I wanted to ask, actually, because I don't know how many other podcasters are going to listen to this, but... as mentioned last week, I do run a hosting company, and I recently came into a server with masses of bandwidth. I mean, we're talking huge amounts of bandwidth. So
gobs of it.
Lumps
of it round the back.
Yeah, okay, I think they've got it. I've been thinking of coming up with an account that podcasters could use, you know, masses of bandwidth, but basically nothing else. No email, no website, no nothing, just FTP upload your file and let people download it. I could probably take 20-odd users doing 50 gig a month and pretty much not make the server break into a sweat. But I have absolutely no idea what to charge for something like that. I know how much it costs me, but, I mean...
50 gig is, let's see, that's 1,000 half-hour show, 1,000 half-hour downloads.
Yeah, but when, I mean, I would expect people to keep up their old episodes for a little while. If not forever, so it's not like, you know, people are going to be using 50 gig with their latest show every month.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm considering this. I have this huge server. If it proves popular and I can actually make money out of it, I'll get more of these servers because the host I use has a limited offer on, and it's something I'm seriously considering, but I don't have money to throw away, so I need people to tell me if it's A, something they'd be interested in, and B, what they'd be willing to pay for it. So,
correct me if I'm wrong, but it's also a dual 2 gigahertz Xeon.
It is a dual 2 gigahertz Xeon with a gig of RAM.
Sounds ideal for hosting Unreal Tournament on, actually.
Yeah, we'll think about that.
Might have latency issues.
Yeah. It is based in the States. You couldn't get any sort of bandwidth over here in the UK for... any sort of money beyond under £1,000 a month. Mm. And that is a pitiful situation we hope will improve.
Yeah.
So if anyone has any comments, please let me know. And if only three people come back to me and say yes, they're interested, they'll probably get a very, very good deal.
Yeah, because you said that Ned's one of them.
Ned, yes.
Yeah.
Being the only listener, he's probably...
Hi, Ned.
Yes.
But the podcasting is so new that these questions have not been answered yet.
It is, and it is something that the community is looking into. Podshow...
There are no package solutions.
No, the company Podshow is looking into providing it in return for advertising. Now, that's fine if you're a podcaster with no money at all. That's fine. But I'm sure, you know, along with the blog community, there are a lot of people out there who are doing this and have... 30, 40, 50 quid a month that they would be happy to part with to make sure that it's free of advertising and is, you know, kept on their track rather than the advertiser's track.
Maintain their integrity.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And, you know, it's something I'm looking at, so...
There are enough geeks pioneering this stuff that, it just makes it easier for the next... group of people. I mean, we're all the podcasters who've come to it because of the explosion through iTunes 4.9.
Yeah.
You're going to get another group when we're all, the people like us, have, some of us will get tired of it and drift off, and some others will have very successful 1 or 2 year shows. And then other people will know it as something that you just end up doing, like blogs.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, blogs are a perfect example. No one expected there to be them to be adding thousands every day to what's available.
Yeah.
Most of which, it has to be said, do die off, but there are some that, you know, start up and persist and become really quite popular.
Mine's been going since June 2000.
And you have a readership of Ned.
Yes, I have a readership of Ned.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean...
And Killjoy.
Oh, absolutely.
You get killed,
yeah.
And if it comes to the point where, you know, I start getting people start using far more than the 50 gig, well, we can look at it again. But that's it's something I want to be involved in, because this podcasting thing is not going to go away. I'm expecting it's going to explode like blogs did. And with a bit of luck, we'll all be sitting on top of it when it does.
And you'd much rather it was people like Stutz providing your bandwidth and the big companies who will come in and do it their way if people like us don't get off our asses.
So we've come to the obligatory plug, have we? It's
no,
all good.
Not at all.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It is. I'll freely admit it, I don't have a huge number of customers. I do try and give the best support I can.
And you also don't hunt out customers because you don't want too many.
I don't. I just wait for them to arrive. It works quite well. They keep appearing. So, but word of mouth is the best way to get customers, because then people know what you're going to be like. They're not sort of giving their money to a stranger.
Yeah.
It's a friend by proxy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I've handed over a couple, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Does Ned have web hosting?
Ooh. I don't know. Ned.
Ooh,
Ned.
Suck Ned up.
I'm talking to you now, Ned. Wonderful. Yeah. Anyway. I think we're done, aren't we? We've happily gone over our 30 minutes again.
But of course.
Means the outro won't make that much sense, but it's funny anyway.
Yeah, and besides,
it is funny. We might try and, you know, come up with some different music for the intro and the outro next week.
Because GarageBand is that easy.
GarageBand is that easy, and I'm going to have a play, I think.
Ooh.
Oh, should I mention the camera? Yes, yeah, mention the camera.
Ooh, quick.
Yes, I did some extra work for work. Yeah, last month.
So for your employer.
So they gave me some more money. I've decided to buy a new camera. I'm going to get myself a Canon 350D. Be placing the order tomorrow morning. Should be here Friday.
So you're going to tell us all about it.
So I'm going to tell you all about it.
Wax lyrical.
Absolutely. And what's even better is my father has a 300, so 300D, 350D, bit of a comparison, yeah.
Fantastic.
So yes, that will be exciting. Tune in. Yeah, so there we go. Thanks for subscribing. Stay subscribed. We promise it will get better. We should mention the email address,
which
we really ought to have mentioned last week, but there you go. spodcast@spodcast.org.
We didn't forget to mention it.
It is. Okay. Private joke there, don't worry about it.
spodcast@spodcast.org.
It is on the website, so...
And the website address is...
spodcast.org.
Yeah, just worth mentioning, you know.
Yeah, in fact, let's say it again, just in case.
Spodcast.org.
.org. Excellent. Right.
Bye, Ned.
Bye, Ned.
Bye, Ned.
Spodcast.
Spodcast.
You've been in here for 30 minutes. What are you doing?
Entertaining and educating.
Why can't you just masturbate like the rest of us?